You'll be turning in your Bibles to Colossians chapter number 3. It's in this chapter that the Apostle Paul is writing to the believers in a city named Colossae. And he's writing here about the new you. The new you. I said to you this morning that he is not writing about a new diet plan that has just come out that'll make a new you. He's not writing about getting a facelift or a new hairstyle or hair color. And he's not writing about getting an exercise machine and joining a gym, as you might hear about, especially at this time of year, so that you can be a new you. No, when Paul is writing here about the new you, he's not writing about the shape of your body, but he's writing about the transformation of your soul. He's not writing about what happens with the outer man as much as he is as what God is doing and has done in the inner man. He's contrasting the old you with the new you. And that is, the old you is who you were before the Lord saved you, and the new you is who you are now that God has saved you. That is, it assumes that there's a time and a point when something changed drastically on the inside of you. And that time and point we talked about in the service this morning, and that it was the new birth. That is, when God dealt with your heart and revealed to you that you were lost and brought you to that point of forsaking everything, that's called repentance, and putting your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did for you, that's called faith. And when God saves somebody, He brings them to that point every time, to the point of repentance and faith. And we find that those two go together hand in hand. They're two sides of the same coin. Nobody's ever really believed unless they've repented, and nobody's ever repented unless they have believed. And we find that indeed that's what the conversion experience is. And God does a wonderful work in the inside of a person, in their heart, that is, in the inner being, when He saves them. That is, He gives to them divine life. He gives us eternal life. Our spirit that was dead is quickened and made alive by the Holy Spirit who comes to live on the inside of you, and that life is eternal life. So eternal life for a child of God is not just something that we look forward to, but it is a present possession that we have right now. And the reason why is because we've been made alive on the inside. Our spirit that was dead is now alive so that we know God and have a relationship with God. God gave you a body so that you could function on this earth. And your body is born. When you were born, your body was born alive so that you could function. And God gave you a soul so that you could function in relationship with other people. And you have a living soul so that you're able to do that. But your spirit was not alive. Your spirit was dead. You didn't know God. You didn't relate to God. Didn't have a relationship with God. But the moment that God saved you, that which is dead was made alive. And that's what the Bible calls the new birth. That is, the imparting of new life, everlasting life, or eternal life. That is, the quickening or making alive of the inner man. And so we spent some time this morning talking about that, because that's when that new became new. That's when you became new, at the point of the new birth. The position of the new you is, that is, that God has positioned you as one who has been born again, one that He has given divine life to. We looked at just a few words in verse 10 and also in verse number 12, just a few words this morning that I'll remind you of in introduction to the sermon tonight, just to remind you that you have been positioned, repositioned. The new you is not in the same position that the old you was. And I listen now, the old you was lost and separated from God and dead towards God and on the road to eternal judgment. Every individual is lost and without God until they get saved and on the road to eternal judgment. And then God interrupted your life, convicted you of your lostness, and brought you to Himself, to that point of repentance and faith, and He saved you. You were born again, and now you are positioned in a new position, the new you in a new position. That is, now you are born again, you have divine life. You're divinely elected. You're God's chosen. Before, you were not His people, but now you are His people, divinely chosen or elected. You are made holy, the Bible tells us there. The word holy means separated or set apart. You're among those that God has set apart from all the rest of humanity. You're God's special people, those of you that have been saved with the grace of God. You are made holy and you are dearly loved. The Bible calls you beloved here in Colossians 3 and verse number 12. That is, you are the ones upon whom God has set His special affection and His special love. Now, God loves everybody, ladies and gentlemen, because because we're part of His creation, but it's the new creation that has become the recipient of God's special affection. And the reason why is because redemption has been applied to you, and you have received His love, and His love has been deposited on the inside of you, and you actually have His love living within your very heart. And so you are God's dearly loved. God has set His special affection on you. Listen, there's nobody that God loves more than He loves you if you're His redeemed. That is, if you are His child, He loves you with a special love, a redemption love, and more than a creative love. God loves you with His redemptive love that is found in Christ and in the new covenant that we read about there in the New Testament. That is, that God has sent His Son and died for you. That's how much He loved you. And you now participate in that love because of the Holy Spirit who lives on the inside of you. So we talked a little bit this morning, and in a feeble kind of way, about indeed the position of the new you. You are not positioned in the same position you was when you were still the old you. And the Bible tries to help us understand our new position, those of us who are in Christ. So I'd like to speak a little bit tonight. I'd like to move on into verse number 10 a little bit more and just talk about not only the position of the new you, but I'm going to talk now a little bit about the progression of the new you. The progression of the new you. Let's look now at verse number 10 again. I'm in Colossians 3, verse 10. And have put on the new man. Now that's something that happened in the past that has continuing results in your life. Somewhere along the line, you became new. You became a new person, a new you. That's the new birth. That's when God chose you, set you apart as one of His holy ones. That's whenever you became a child of God, when you were born again. But notice now, this new you, this one now that is new, the Bible says is renewed. That is, the one who is the new you, He says, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. And that's what I want to spend our time on, is just looking at that little idea here about the new you being renewed. The new you being renewed. When you became a new creature in Christ, you were positioned before God as His new people. Born again, divinely elected, made holy, I tell you, you are His beloved. And our position as new creatures will never change. Our position never changes. Listen, when God saved you and positioned you before Him as His redeemed, those that He has regenerated or given new life, that is something that will never, never, ever change. You will always be a child of God if you've been born again. Amen. You'll always have eternal life. You'll always be His elect. You'll always be His holy one. You'll always be His dearly beloved. Your position before God will never change. But I tell you that all of us know that there are areas of our lives as new creatures that do change. Amen. There are areas of our lives that do change. Our position doesn't change, but there are areas of our life that do need to change. And this is what I'm referring to when I refer to the progression of the new you. Now, this is not hard for us to understand, and all we have to do is just go down to the nursery. As a matter of fact, we really don't have to go down to the nursery. We can just probably look around us right here in this building right now, and we would understand this a little bit, and that is that there are brand new creatures with new life. You go to the nursery, you'll see little babies down there, and as I look out across this congregation, I see some of you that I remember when you were little babies. Now, not some of you. Some of you I don't, obviously, but there are a few of you. There are a few of you, but I remember when you were a little baby. I certainly remember when my kids were born. I remember them, and Rachel was such a little baby. I mean, she weighed less than 5 pounds, and she was a little bitty thing, and she was just as cute as she could be. She's not much bigger than that now, but nevertheless. But I remember that. I remember how that when she was born, my dad worked at a grain elevator, and my dad, when the first time he held her, he wanted us to lay her on a pillow, and he held the pillow because she was so small. He looked at her and he said, "Girl, I've seen rats bigger than you." I mean, but I remember when she was just a little bitty baby, brand new little baby with new life. But I want to tell you that all of those new little lives change, don't they? I mean, all of those little kids down there in the nursery, they change and they grow up. And some of you that are here right now, some of you that are adults, I remember when you were just little bitty children, and some of you little bitty babies, and now that you're growing up, little children grow, they change. And they grow and they develop and they learn, and someday they become mature adults, or at least that's what we're hoping for at our house. Amen. Yeah. I'm just kidding. No, I'm not. No, that's what we're going, that's what we're looking forward to. And that is it. New life. Those who have new life grow and they change and they develop and they progress towards maturity. And even so, it is true for those who are new creatures in Christ. That is, when you became the new you, when God saved you and made you a new creature, as a new creature in Christ, you are destined to grow and learn and mature. One of the things that characterizes life is progression. That is, life and progression go together hand in hand. Those who have life are going to progress. That is, you're going to change. You're going to develop. You're going to grow up and become a mature adult. And those who are mature adults are going to be decrease as we get a little bit older. And that is, all of us are progressing. We're moving towards maturity. And as we move from maturity, we move towards our demise someday. And all of us understand that. But even so, with eternal life, there is growth, not towards demise and not towards indeed death, but there is continual growth in Christ. The outward man indeed perishes, Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians, but the inward man is renewed day by day. And that's what he's referring to here in this passage of Scripture. Now, whenever I'm talking about growing and maturing, I'm not talking about adding anything to the new life that we have in Christ. There's a whole movement in our culture and has been for many years now that believes that once you get saved, there's still more you need to get. And I believe that when you get saved, if you've ever been really born again, you've got it all. Amen? And that is, if you have new life, if you've been born again, you have it right now, presently. You have everything that God is going to give you. You say, well, you got to have more of the Spirit. You've got Him. He's living on the inside of you if you've been born again. If you don't have the Spirit of God, you're none of His, Paul wrote in Romans 8:9. And so you have Him all. But I want to tell you that while that is true, while you have everything that there is that you need to be able to function within the realm of salvation, listen, while you have everything that you need, like a little baby, you need to grow. Amen? I like to use the illustration. I probably used it before, but it's like a little baby learning how to walk. Now, when Rachel finally got big enough to try to learn how to walk, and whenever it came that time for her to learn how to walk, here's what we did not do. We didn't take Rachel and the car and take her to the doctor's office and say, we believe it's time for Rachel to learn how to walk. And so we'd like for you to give her a shot. We would like for you to perform some kind of a surgery. We would like you to do something so that she would learn how to walk. Nothing had to be added to her for her to learn how to walk. She simply had to learn how to use what it is that she already had. Amen. She didn't know that she could walk when she was born. As a matter of fact, she didn't know that she could walk for about the first year or so of her life. But then there came that day when she began to realize, whenever she began to understand, knowledge began to set in on her, and she began to realize that those legs were more than just kicking, amen? And that she could actually stand upright on those things, and she could actually begin to move herself and become mobile with those legs. And she began to learn that, and she began to grow, and we're all thankful, amen, that she can walk, amen? Aren't you all glad Rachel can walk? Yeah. Rachel's hoping that I'll get beyond her illustration. Amen. Well, here's what I'm trying to say, and that's been true of all of us, by the way. Everybody who walks at one time did not. There's not any of us who came to this world walking. Amen. We came crying, and we still do plenty of that. But nevertheless, we did not come walking in this world. And we learned how to appropriate what we already had in most cases in order to be able to learn how to walk. And I want to say to you that even so, child of God, you became a new you when the Lord saved you. But I tell you what I've been discovering in my Christian life over these 30-some-odd years now is that God did so much more for me than I even realized the day that He saved me. And as I'm beginning to grow and as I'm progressing, I found out that I have all that I need, but beginning to learn how to appropriate everything that He has given to me. That's what this progression here is all about. Now, that's what he's writing about in verse number 10 when he talks about being renewed in knowledge. That little word renewed means to make new again. To make new again. It's a present passive participle is what it is if you like any kind of the technical English things. But nevertheless, in Greek, it suggests that this is something that is continuously being done to us and in us. The fact that it is indeed a passive participle means this. It means that he's talking about something that is being done to us. Not something that we're doing to ourselves, but something that is being done to us, and it is something that is ongoing. Something ongoing being done to us and in us. This being made new again and again and again. It's not talking about being made a new creature over and over again, like we might think of a being saved over and over again, because we know that that indeed is an impossibility. But it's talking about the continual process of being made new in our lives. The idea here is that God not only made us new creatures when He saved us, but since our conversion, He continues to make us new. He continues to make us new. We might think of it this way. Whenever the Lord saved us, we became new creatures. But since our conversion, God has been developing in us new character. You see, I became a new creature when He saved me. But God's been working in me, developing new character. Do you know that there are old things about my character that need to go? And there are new things that need to be developed? That's the progression that I'm talking about. God making new, renewing, or making new again the areas of my life where there's still the taint of the fallenness within me. And I want to say to you that that's true of every person. If you're here tonight and you say, Pastor, after the service this morning, and you're talking about being a new creature, and I look at my life and I see so many things that still look like the old me, I just wonder. I want to say to you that all of us have a lot of progression that we still need to do. But you ought to be able to go back to a time in your life when you became a new creature in Christ, when you know that you became a new creature that day in Christ. And since then, God is growing you and progressing you. Now, I know that none of you have arrived yet. I certainly haven't. And Paul even wrote as well in the book of Philippians that even he has not apprehended yet. That is, none of us have reached that point of spiritual maturity yet. I have a feeling probably that none of us are ever going to quite get there before the Lord calls us home. Amen. But nevertheless, we're progressing in that direction. This idea of renewing or continually being made new. God developing new character. That is, God developing new direction. Areas of our life that just aren't what they ought to be. There's a word that Paul uses to describe this in Romans chapter number 12. I want you to listen to this. You all know this verse, or many of you do. But listen to this verse. In Romans 12, verse number 2, I had it up earlier on the screen. Here's what it says. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye, and here's the word, be ye transformed by the renewing. There's that word. By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That is, the word that he uses here to describe this change that is taking place within our lives since our conversion is indeed the word transformed. Transformed by the renewing of your mind. It is a word from which we get the word metamorphosis from. That is, it's the meaning of being changed from the inside out. That is, that God who came to live on the inside of you from the moment of your conversion, who made your spirit alive on the inside, who gave you new life, the God who came to indwell you at the moment of your conversion, is in the process of changing you from the inside out. And He does it, according to Romans 12, 2, by the renewing of the mind, which is the same idea that we see in Colossians 3:10, where it talks about being renewed in knowledge. Renewed in mind is the same thing as renewed in knowledge. We see this concept again in Ephesians chapter number 4, another important passage of Scripture. Listen to these words from the Apostle. Ephesians 4 and verse number 22. Here's what he writes. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. Now that should sound familiar to you. Put off the old man. That is the former way of life. That was associated with the old man. Put that off. He describes what the old man is like. The old life is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Put off the old corruption, the old deception, the old lust. Put all of that off. And then he says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Did you hear that? Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Put off the old man and be made new over and over again in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. In other words, the Apostle Paul is telling the Ephesians the same thing he says in Colossians. Put off the old man and put on the new you. And you do it by being renewed in the spirit of your mind. Being renewed in the spirit of your mind, that little phrase there in Ephesians 4 and verse 23 means the same thing as what we saw in Colossians 3:10, where it says renewed in knowledge, and the same thing that we saw in Romans 12:2, where the Bible talks about being transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, you and I need to stop and realize that there are different aspects of salvation. And that is that we can look back at our conversion and we can say that when God saved us, we were positioned in Christ so that we became new creatures instantly. But we can also look back and say that when God saved us, not only were we placed into Christ, but Christ was placed on the inside of us in the person of the Holy Spirit. And because of the indwelling of Christ in our hearts, now since our conversion, we are being renewed day by day. The Spirit of Christ who lives on the inside of you is changing you from the inside out. From the inside out. Real progression in the Christian life always happens from the inside out. You can't work it from the outside in. Now you can conform behavior by the outside, from the outside in. In other words, if you put enough pressure on people, which is what we do in parenting, if you put enough pressure and you use enough discipline, you can conform behavior. But I'm going to tell you, dear friend, that it takes more than conform behavior to develop a person of character. Did you hear me? It takes more than conform behavior to develop a person of character. It's kind of like the little boy that the father was disciplining him and he told him to sit down. And so he sat down, but he looked at his daddy and said, I may be sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside. Amen. Yeah. I mean, listen, you and I can conform behavior, but we can't transform, that is, the inner man by conforming the outer man. And you see, that's one of the mistakes that oftentimes churches get involved in. Here's just a little rabbit for you just a little bit. And that is if churches get into the business of just trying to conform the outer man, listen to me now, we might just use a term that's often used called legalism, just trying to conform the outer man to a certain standard of behavior, but that doesn't change the inside. And the progression in the Christian life is more than conforming the outer behavior, even though that's part of it. But listen, it is a change not from the outside in. Not from the outside in. As a matter of fact, you can create more rebellion through legalism than you can through anything I know. So it's not changing from the outside in. It's a change that happens from the inside out. That we're talking about is Christian growth and progression in the Christian life. And when God saved you, you not only were placed into Christ so that now your position changed, but now Christ is placed on the inside of you. And His purpose in your life, living on the inside of you, the purpose of Christ living on the inside of you is to make you new in every area of your life. To make your thought life new. That's right. So that instead of thinking like a lost person, you start thinking like a saved person. So that instead of believing what the world teaches you to believe, you start believing what God has revealed in His Word. So you start believing right, and so that therefore then, from the inside out, you start behaving right. God is trying to change what you believe. He's trying to change your very character. So then instead of being a liar, you're a man of truth. Instead of being somebody who's controlled by lust, you're dominated by the love of God living on the inside of you. And I could keep going on, but God is trying to change you on the inside. And He gets more specific as we go on in these verses, which we won't have time to get to tonight, but maybe later on. In other words, there are these aspects of salvation. That is, there are some aspects of salvation, like the new birth, that are already done. It's finished, and that's your position in Christ, and it's settled. But there are other aspects of salvation, like transformation, being changed from the inside out, that is still being done in your life. It's part of your progression in Christ. And that's what Paul is referring to here when he writes about the new you being renewed. The new you being renewed. Renewed. God is trying to make things new in you, even though you're now new. One of the things that characterizes the new you is to be renewed. That is progressing in the area of newness. Now I want you to notice with me here in Colossians 3:10, and I think it's important to notice here, the area in which this spiritual renewal takes place in our lives. Did you notice here that he said that we are renewed in knowledge? Renewed in knowledge. We saw that in Romans 12:2, where the Bible talks about the renewing of the mind. And then we saw it in Ephesians 4:23, where it says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Renewed in knowledge. The renewal of the mind. Renewed in the spirit of your mind. This is the area in which God is renewing us. This is the area in which we're being made new. This area of renewal takes place in the mind. In your mind. Now, oftentimes when you're reading about the mind in the Bible, you're reading about the mind and the heart. We distinguish between the two, don't we? That is, between the thinking process and the emotional process. But sometimes when the Bible talks about the mind, it's talking about both of that. It's talking about the inner man. It's talking about the inner life. That is, who you are on the inside. But it looks as though that one of the things that characterizes the process of progressing in Christ is in the area of the mind, the thinking process. That is, what you believe and what you know. Being renewed, the Bible says here, in knowledge. What you believe and what it is that you know. If you're going to be able to progress as a new creature in Christ, the new you, growing up to become a mature believer, then you're going to have to grow in the area of knowledge or in the area of your understanding. Here's one of the favorite verses people have around here. It's found in 1 Peter 3:18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you're going to grow, you're going to have to grow in the area of knowledge. Let's look back there at Colossians. If you would, look at Colossians chapter number 1 and verse number 9. Listen to what it says. Colossians 1 and verse number 9. Here's what the Bible says. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. Paul says, I'm praying for you since I heard about your conversion. I've been praying for you. And desiring in prayer, and here's what he's been praying for, that you might be filled with what? The knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Do you see it there? Knowledge and understanding. If you are now going to grow and progress and be and listen, in the area of newness, if the new you is going to grow towards spiritual maturity, then listen, it's going to involve your knowledge or it's going to involve your understanding. Listen, the new you is renewed or transformed as you grow in knowledge and as you grow in understanding. You say, Pastor, what kind of knowledge or understanding are you talking about? Well, we could spend weeks talking about this, but let me just give you maybe just two or three things. That is, understanding the person of God. Growing in your understanding of who God is. You see, if you're going to grow, you're going to have to get into this book and find out who this person is that saved you and redeemed you by His grace. Getting to know who God is. Growing in your understanding of the person of God. Growing in your understanding of the will of God. That is what it is that God purposes. Not only who God is, but what God has purposed. Not only that, but growing in your understanding of the ways of God. That is the direction that God is leading or the direction that God is going in. If you're going to progress in the Christian life, that is, you got to grow in knowledge and understanding of who God is. You got to grow in understanding of what the will of God is. You got to grow in understanding of what the ways of God are. You got to get to know Him. You got to get to know Him. You got to learn about Him in order to be able to grow in the Christian life. That's the reason why it's so important to get in this book and to study it and to learn and to grow, because that's the only way of progressing or being made new in the Christian life. Now, since we're going to be renewed in knowledge, then we need to understand that the primary means that God uses to help us develop our understanding or to be renewed in knowledge, and first of all, it is indeed the Word of God. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 2. So God has revealed Himself through His Word so that you and I can grow in knowledge. That's why we need to read the Word of God to find out what it says, and that's why we need to study this book to find out what it is that it means. Not only what it says, but what does this mean? That's why we need to listen to the Word of God. Every child of God has been made new, ought to be under the teaching of the Word of God, and thereby be able to grow. You ought to memorize the Word of God so that you have it stored up in your heart. You ought to apply the Word of God so you can see how it works in your life. You ought to share the Word of God so that other people will know about it. You and I need to be people who are saturated with this book. As a matter of fact, notice right here in Colossians chapter number 3 what he says in verse number 16, let the Word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom. That is, if you and I are going to experience wisdom, then we need to be rich with the Word of God. The Word of God living on the inside of us, dwelling in us, filled and dominated by the power of the Word of God. Listen, your life and my life needs to be saturated with the Word of God. You know what we ought to do as a church. If this is true, that is, if the only way that you and I who are new creatures are going to be made new again over and over again and grow and progress in the Christian life is by being renewed in knowledge, and the means by which we grow in knowledge is the Word of God, then you know what we ought to do? We ought to meet together every Sunday morning and take a look at what this book says. And I tell you that you don't just need to listen to me preach. You need to get in a small group Bible study and study the Word of God in a small group. Amen. It's called Sunday school. Amen. And then we ought to say, you know what? Since Sunday's the Lord's Day, it's not a day to go do whatever we want to do. It's the Lord's Day devoted to Him. Then we get back on Sunday night and we get under the Word again. And listen, if Sunday evening preaching is not enough, then you can go to discipleship training and get another big dose of the Word. Amen. And long about midweek, you're going to need it again. And so Wednesday night, you'll want to be back in here hearing the Word. And in between time, you better get it on your radio and your car. Listen, get the stations that have preaching and teaching on it. And you need to get your Bible out and have it handy where you can read it. You need to get CDs and put them in your car or wherever it is you're at or your workplace, bring it up on your computer if you're allowed to do that. Whatever it takes to just constantly being under the teaching of the Word of God. Amen. Renewed in knowledge, ladies and gentlemen. There's not only the Word of God, but there's also the Spirit of God. If you and I are going to experience spiritual, this kind of renewal that he's talking about, progressing the Christian life, we not only have to be filled with the Word of God, but we have to be filled with the Spirit of God. You see, the Bible tells us in John 14, Jesus said, listen, the Spirit of God is going to come. After I'm gone, the Spirit of God is going to come. The Comforter is going to come. And when he comes, he is going to guide you into all truth. The Spirit of God. He's going to guide you into all truth. He's going to show you things to come. The Spirit of God. He is the Spirit of truth, the Bible tells us in John 14 and also chapter 15 and chapter number 16. I tell you, He'll transform you. The Spirit of God is God's work in you of transformation. Listen to what he writes in 2 Corinthians chapter number 3. I think I might have referred to this verse a couple of Sundays ago when I was preaching another series of message. Listen to 2 Corinthians 3 verse 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image. That is, into the same image that Christ is. Changed and transformed into the image of Christ. That word changed has that same idea of metamorphosis. The idea being changed from the inside out. We are changed from the inside out into the same image, the image of Christ, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And so you see, God not only changes us and develops us and grows us through the Word of God, but also by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God operating in our life is the one who grows us and matures us as He teaches us truth. Now, I believe that we ought to sit under the teaching of the truth, but it takes the Spirit of God to help us understand, enlighten our hearts, enlighten our minds, so that we can understand the Word of God. What I'm trying to get you to see is, how is it that you and I can be renewed in knowledge? That is, how can I get to know God? How can I get to know who He is and what He's like and what His purposes are and what His ways are? That is, how can I be renewed or grow in knowledge? Well, there is indeed the Word of God that I've got to be filled with. There is indeed the Spirit of God. And then thirdly, there are the men of God. Listen to what Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter number 4. In Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse number 11, the Bible says, and he gave to the church these special gifted individuals. Are you ready? Here they are. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Now listen to why God gave the church these men of God. For the perfecting of the saints. That's right. For the maturity of those who've been set aside. For the growing of the holy ones. Remember, saints is the same idea, the same Greek word as the word holy that we looked at this morning. That is, God wants to mature you, saint. And He does it by giving you gifted people that are able to take the Word of God and be able to teach you and help you. He gives them to us for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's right. So that you'll be able to grow. So the body. You are the body, so that you'll be able to grow and be built up and to be strengthened and become everything God wants you to be. Aren't you glad that when you learned how to walk, you had a mom or a dad or grandma or grandpa or somebody there to take your hand and teach you how to walk? Amen. That's right. I mean, listen, when you finally realize that those legs were more than just to kick in the air, but for standing on and moving along, probably there was somebody that God divinely and sovereignly placed in your life that held you by the arms and taught you how to walk. Well, I've seen some of these little ones around here learning how to walk, and everybody tries to get in on it, don't they? And we all want them to walk to us, and we're all trying to help them learn how to walk. But I'm going to say to you, dear friend, that if you're going to learn how to walk with God, if you're going to progress as a new creature in Christ, Christ and become everything that God has saved you to be, then you need to take the hands of those around you that God has sovereignly placed into your life to teach you and to help you and listen, to help grow you. You need to take their hand and you need to follow their leadership. And if you will, God will help you be able to grow. If you don't, then you're going to be missing out on what God placed in your life. It's like a little child trying to learn how to walk and refusing to hold the hands of those who are trying to teach him or teach her. Listen, God has given you His Word, God has given you His Spirit, and God has given you His men. And those are the primary ways that God helps us to grow in knowledge, in our understanding of this book, in our understanding of the will of God and of the ways of God. And you need to take advantage of every opportunity you have to be able to grow, to be renewed, made new in knowledge. The progression of the new man, renewed in knowledge. Is everybody still with me? Well, a couple of you are. Now, I want you to notice with me here that Paul tells us in verse number 10 that the new you is renewed in knowledge. And then he says this, after the image of Him that created him. After the image of Him that created him. That little phrase, after the image of Him that created him, is showing us what we might think of as the direction or the perfection of our spiritual maturity or our spiritual growth. If the new you is progressing, in what direction are we progressing? That is, where are we going in this? Where are we progressing to? What is the goal in this progression? Well, Paul tells us here, the goal is the image of Him that created him. Now, when the Bible talks about the one who created you, it's not just talking about the one who created you, that is, that created all things. But it's specifically, and even more importantly, talking about the one who made you a new creation, that made you a new creature. That is, God made you, the Lord Jesus came into your life, and you became a new creature. And ever since then, God has been moving you in the direction of becoming the image of Him that created you or made you a new creature. Let me explain. You understand, most of us anyway, that humanity was created by God. Back in Genesis chapter number 1, God created everything. He created the planet that we live on and the atmosphere around it with all the stars, with the sun and the moon and everything that exists in the atmosphere. And then God created life. He created plant life and He created all animal life. And then the crown of God's creation, listen, is when God created humanity. Don't believe those today that try to teach you that indeed man is no different from the animals. I tell you, there is something distinctly different from humanity, and it takes a fool to think otherwise. Everybody ought to know. Listen, I wouldn't trust anybody that can't tell the difference between an animal and a human. Amen? There's something distinctly different between the species. And even so, when God created us, one of the things that distinguishes us is not only the way that God made us, and not only the fact that He breathed into us and we became a living soul that is able to relate in ways that animal life cannot, but I want to say to you that the Bible says that God created us after His own image. He created us in His image. And part of what that means is that God created us in such a way that we are intended to be a reflection of the character of God. God created Adam and Eve in order to be a reflection of who God is. Adam and Eve were to be a reflection of God's law in relationship to the creation. That's why God said that they were to have dominion over all of God's creation. Adam and Eve were to dominate over everything. They were to reflect God's law over the creation, but they were also to reflect God's love in relationship to each other. Adam and Eve, in relationship to each other, He said, be fruitful and multiply. And in so doing, they are reflecting God's love, reflecting God's law by having dominion, and reflecting God's love by their relationship, which also would bring in other children into the world. But you also understand that when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, the image of God in man was marred. It was marred. So that now, instead of reflecting God's law, humanity is breaking God's law. So that now, instead of reflecting God's love, mankind is reflecting hate. Why, even the first two brothers, Cain, killed Abel. So something's really messed up. Something's not right. That is, those that were intended to reflect God's law, to be an image, a reflection of God, is now indeed not. And because sin came into the world, but then Jesus came. The second Adam, He's called, the Bible tells us. The second Adam. And Jesus came, He reflected God's law perfectly by his life, fulfilled it completely. And I tell you, he reflected God's love perfectly in his death on the cross. No greater love than a man lay down his life for his friends. Listen to me. The image of God was perfectly demonstrated in Christ. Perfectly demonstrated in him. Here's what the Bible says in Hebrews. Writing about Christ, Hebrews 1:3 says that he is the express image of his person, of God's person. The Bible says about Jesus in 2 Corinthians 4:4, it says that Christ is the image of God. Christ perfectly demonstrated the image of God. It was perfectly demonstrated in Christ. Listen to me, the image of God that was marred by Adam and his sin is now found perfect in Christ. And listen to me, are you ready? And we are in Christ. And Christ is in us, the new you. And so the direction of the progression is toward Christ-likeness. That is, when the Bible talks about being renewed after the image of him that created us, it means that finally now in Christ, you and I are moving in that direction of being able to become everything that God intended for humanity to be in the first place. And we're able to be that in Christ. Not because we're anything, but because we're in him. New creatures in Christ. Did you know that's the reason why we were created? That's right. The very purpose of creation itself is realized in Christ. You know, that's the reason why that our world is so confused. Because we have no idea what our purpose is. As a matter of fact, the more we get away from biblical truth, the more hopeless and purposeless humanity becomes. You know, one of the things that I hate most about the theory of evolution, other than the fact that it's just not biblical, it doesn't line up with truth, and it's not the truth, other than that, one of the things that I hate about it so much is that it's so purposeless and meaningless. It gives no hope. In other words, somehow we just randomly happened with no distinct purpose. That somehow, you know, just a big bang and all these millions of years and development, that there's no real purpose for us being here. Listen, evolution teaches that everything's just kind of random and the survival of the fittest. And all of that leads to hopelessness and purposelessness in people's lives. The reason why children suffer with self-esteem and the reason why they have no real meaning in life is because they haven't been taught that they were created in the image of God and God has a purpose for them and a divine design for them and that God loves them. And all of that is found in Christ. And so since you've been made new, the new you, God has been in the process of progressing you towards what he intended for you to be anyway, Christ-likeness. That's right. So you begin to image, so that you begin to mirror the character of our Lord, so that you become more and more like him. That is, from glory to glory, we're told in 2 Corinthians 3:18, transformed, changed from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord, becoming more and more like him. Now someday, child of God, all of us who are new, the new yous, are going to be like Jesus. The Bible leaves no doubt about it. The Bible says in Romans 8:29 that we have been predestined to be conformed to his image. That means from the moment of your conversion, those of you that God has chosen, elected, and redeemed, God has predetermined that all of his children will be conformed to the image of his son. So you are going to be like Jesus. The Bible says in 1 John 3:2 that when Jesus comes again, we're going to see him as he is, and we're going to be like him. That's right. Not only a new creature, not only a new character, but then we're going to have a new body and we are going to be like our Lord. We're going to be the image of him that created us. But that's the direction that God is taking you now. Until that day comes, we're in the process of growing towards Christ-likeness. That's what God is doing in your life. That's what the new you is all about. That's what your purpose is. That's what your goal is. That's why you're here, is to become more Christ-like and to continue to grow and become more like him, a reflection of the love of God, a reflection of the life of God, bearing witness to the life and love and testimony of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is why you are here. That is the new you. The new you. Amen. That's right. Something's going on in you if you're the new you. It's called renewal. The renewing of the new you. Being made new over and over. In the areas of reality. You say, Pastor, by the time I think I get one area of my life straightened out, another one shows up that I need to deal with. I know all about that. You know what that's called? That's called renewal. Being made new and new and new and new. Listen, that's God's goal for your life. That's what the Spirit of God is trying to do in you. You ought to cooperate with Him. You ought to yield to Him. You ought to let Him do in you what He has saved you for, and that is to make you like Christ. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank You for Your Word and for Your people and how You blessed us. Father, thank You for this passage of Scripture, those that You've made new in Christ, and You're in the process, Father, of transforming from the inside out by the Spirit of God who lives on the inside of us. So I pray, Father, that God, those who are here, Father, that maybe just feel like they're in a spiritual ditch and aren't growing and aren't getting anywhere, Father, I pray that, God, You'd work in us in such a way that we get our eyes back on You, get back into the Word and begin to live for You, and, Father, begin to get surrendered to Your Word and, Father, to Your Spirit and, Father, to the people You placed in our life to help us grow. God, not those who drag us down, but those who are lifting us up. God, not those, Father, who are pointing us, Father, to ungodliness and corruption, but those that are pointing us to the Word of God and teaching us and helping us to become everything that You've saved us to be. God, teach us, Lord. Father, I pray that You'd grow us. God, I pray Your Spirit would dominate us from the inside out. Teach us how to be the new people that You've created us to be, to walk in newness of life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand together.